Hello, everybody. This is Carrie with Unicorn Company. So we do requests from our patrons, and the most recent one that I have this season was some more theory crafting or more tactics episodes. So that was a suggestion from BZ Archer over on our Patreon. So today we're beginning a series on the different formations in Alpha Strike and discussing synergies between them. Before we get into that, though, I wanted to go ahead and go over the news. First of all, Ironwind Metals has released 3.5 new miniatures. The first is the Archer ARC-9W, which is based on the Project Phoenix art and comes in at $16.95. The next one is like 1.5 models, as it can make two variants of the same mech. The Atlas II, AS7-D-H, and AS7-D-H2. While you can only make one or the other out of what's in the blister, they're both based on the new artwork from the recognition guide that they were in, which I want to say was 20. I might be wrong. This mini retails for $19.95. The last of the new Ironwind releases is the Atlas II AS7-D-H Devlin. Looking at the model, it is likely that the differences in the torso weapons was great enough from the standard variant to warrant just making a different cast to the model. This model is also based on the new Atlas II art and has a very nice look to it. It retails for $18.95. The next piece of news is that the new Spotlight On book was released, this time on Helion Keshek from the Scorpion Empire. Also, two new Touring the Stars supplements have been released, Kerensky's Vision and Kanderstag. I think I'm pronouncing that correctly. Both of these worlds are in the region that the Tamar Rising book covers, so they are relevant to the recent source book that came out. The Spotlight on Helion Keshek is $3.89 at the Catalyst web store as a PDF, and the Touring the Stars series are $2.99 each, also as PDFs from the Catalyst web store. So with all of that, let's get into the main subject today, Alpha Strike formations, including their variations. This will probably be spread out over 5 episodes and will run concurrently with a new Alpha Strike How to Play series on our YouTube channel, which is Unicorn Company over there as well. So today, the formations we'll look at are the Command Lance and the Support Lance. I know I've got some Clanners out there as well as some Robes, so just substitute Star or Level 2 or whatever you need to when you hear the word Lance. So let's start out with the Command Lance. You don't see it used by many players, which I think is kind of unfortunate, because this is one of the easiest lances that you can build, and has one of the most interesting abilities conferred, or two of, actually. Basically, the requirements for the Command Lance, you have someone who is designated the commander, and one unit, and they receive Tactical Genius. This lets you reroll initiative once every 2 turns. Other than that, 50% of the units must have one of the following unit rolls: Sniper, Missile Boat, Skirmisher, or Juggernaut. One additional unit in the Lance must be a Brawler, Striker, or Scout. The unit designated as Commander's unit may be any of the Lance's members, including the prerequisite units. Half of the non-commander units, rounded up, may receive one of the following special pilot abilities: Antagonizer, Bloodstalker, Combat Intuition, Eagle Eyes, Marksman, or Multitasker. So while all these are good abilities, the one that we're really looking for here is Combat Intuition, which works nicely with Tactical Genius, as if you win initiative, you can shoot in the movement phase with damage effects taking immediately. This can only be done every 3 turns for Combat Intuition. Tactical Genius, like we said, was 2. But on the right units, it kind of puts a ticking clock on your opponent having to destroy them, before they're likely to perform a crippling first strike. And if playing with single to hit rolls, another good one to take is Multitasker, because it allows you to split fire, which can be useful in late game when you have a bunch of opponents or a bunch of enemy units that are down to like one or two structure, and you can effectively split and do half here, half there. There is a variation on this called the Vehicle Command Lance, which has similar requirements, except it's only a pair of vehicles that have to be of one of the types: sniper, missile boat, skirmisher, or juggernaut. This variant gains the same special abilities as the Command Lance. Next, we have the Support Lance. Excuse me. This is the easiest and most versatile lance in the game. Easiest to build, that is. And it does just what it says. It supports other lances. So the way it does this is by allowing half the units in the lance rounded down to receive the special abilities of another lance in your force. With Command Lance, you may only take the two SPAs assigned to the units and may not take Tactical Genius. So if you want mechs that can move, you know, like assault mechs that can move through woods unimpeded, have them support a Scout Lance using maneuvering ace. Would you like rerolls for a different game? Support a Battle Lance, because you choose this before the game. So the requirements for this lance formation are non-existent. There's no real requirements, which means you can build it out however you want. It also lets you do some really odd things and gives you an incredible amount of flexibility. But this usually comes at the cost of, like, at a company level game of a third formation, which can be seen as a loss by some, because you're effectively taking two and a half formations at that point. Since we still have a ton of time, the last thing I want to go ahead and discuss are combined transport and infantry formations. So this formation comes in two flavors, either mechanized or Nova. And it's more of an add-on to another formation. Like, for example, if you have a Battle Lance, you can make it into a Battle Lance that's a Nova or mechanized. So even though they use a clan name and just a generic name, they are not exclusive to any particular faction. The requirement for this formation is the non-infantry units in the mechanized or Nova formation must be capable of transporting all the infantry units in the formations simultaneously. This can be from battle armor using the MEC special ability to mount units with the Omni special ability, battle armor with the X-Mech mounting mech units, any infantry mounting units with enough IT special ability, or a combination of those. I do need to check and see if there's an FAQ about having normal infantry shoot out of a transporting vehicle, which seems kind of weird, because you could do some really funky things if you have a big enough transport and the artillery platoon. Anyway, meeting these requirements, let one of two things happen. A mechanized unit may drop infantry mid-movement, and a Nova unit's infantry may fire from their carrier at a +2 to hit modifier. And like I said, it seems like it doesn't care if they're inside or on the transport for that. While the mechanized unit is interesting and definitely has uses, the Nova is pretty unique, as it means that the battle armor, they're no longer just ablative armor. As they ride or transport out to where they're going, because if they have range, they can at least attempt to engage another unit. So, I mean, I know we're going to be covering more of the formations, and we could probably cover more tonight, but I wanted to go ahead and also get into, like, another subject before we even get into our mech tech. So I wanted to go ahead and take a look at something a little bit lighter, the BattleTech cartoon, and its odd relationship with the canon. The reason I want to talk about this is that there's the topic of canonicity of the cartoon and the source books have been coming up on the forums lately. Looking at the master unit list, it appears that mechs from the source book and the Aerospace Fighter, the Banshee Aerospace Fighter, the awesome 9MA and the Amalthus M, or not Amalthus M, Summoner M, exist in sources other than the source book. We also have in the Legends source book information that helps further corroborate the fact that the cartoon, at least what it depicts, is based on canon. And that the cartoon is a propaganda piece in universe. And of course, there's a ton of information just if you look at Malthus's Summoner that talks about the encounter between Malthus, Adam Steiner on Somerset, and the fact that that definitely is canon because that is mentioned in there specifically. So while the series is essentially quasi-canon, it does make one wonder if an animated series could be done that would do justice to the universe and the incredible amount of diversity that it has. I believe the Clan Invasion might make a good backdrop to this, which is kind of ironic given that the last show that was ever done for it was in the Clan Invasion era, or the FedCon Civil War. So with modern technology, the mechs and people could all be CGI, and you could use the FedCon Civil War as sort of a through line to introduce everybody to the then modern inner sphere. Some of the clans were involved. It's, you know, there's not a lot going on, but there's some. And then, of course, with the timing of it, unlike a lot of the other conflicts in Battletech, the FedCon Civil War, it rolls straight into the Word of Blake conflict. I mean, it's like literally one ends, Star League meets up, the other one begins. And, you know, so you have this perfect continuity if they want to have something where they can pull a sequel out of their butt every few years if it does go over well. So tonight, tonight for our Mech Tech, I want to go ahead and cover the Thor, or if you're a clan or the Summoner. The Thor was introduced in Tech Readout 3050 and originally came with five configurations. We will be covering those five as well as the M configuration, which is the one popularized by Malthus. The Thor itself is a 70-ton mech built around a standard structure and protected by 9.5 tons of ferrofibrous armor. A relatively light amount given that its size for 70 tons. The machine is propelled to a top speed of 86 kilometers an hour by a 350 rated extra light fusion engine, and it has jump jets which allow it to jump up to 150 meters. The base chassis does carry 14 double heat sinks, giving it excellent cooling capabilities, and clan case in all configurations with ammunition. In its primary configuration, the Thor has a simple but effective weapons payload. Its right arm houses an ERPBC, while it carries an LB-10X autocannon in its left arm with 1 ton of ammunition. The left torso has an LRM-15 and a shoulder-mounted drum launcher. And that, I believe, has two tons of ammunition. And the mech has a battle value of 2298. Overall, I mean, it's a very simple, very decent design. It works well. It, for some reason, they went weird on the ammunition. It feels like it should have been 2 tons of LB-10X. That way you could have a standard ton and a cluster shot ton and 1 ton of LRM ammunition. The Alpha configuration of the Thor kind of follows the same design ethos of having a big gun, an accurate gun, and a missile launcher. It has a large pulse laser mounted in its right arm, a Gauss rifle mounted in the left with a single ton of ammunition again, and an SRM-6 launcher in the left torso with 2 tons of ammunition. So while this one's also effective, it would totally be reasonable to drop a ton of the SRM ammo for a ton of Gauss ammo. Same, you know, it's, you're running, the Gauss rifle has 8 shots. So that weapon, you are either really, really taking it easy on the shots, like which ones am I going to take, or you're out of ammunition in like 10 turns, which if it's anything more than one mech on one mech, you're in trouble. But the that configuration of the Thor has a battle value of 2145. In its Bravo configuration, the Thor becomes an excellent fire support mech. In each arm, it carries an LRM-20 with 2 tons of ammunition and an SRM-4 launcher with a single ton of ammunition each. It also carries a NARC beacon launcher with 6 shots to provide better missile guidance to itself and to allies that are using NARC-capable missiles, and an anti-missile system with a ton of ammunition as a defensive measure. Like I said, this is a pretty good fire support unit. It comes in at a battle value of 2159, and if you're looking for something that you can throw on the field, keep in the backfield, is quick enough to reposition, can move through heavy terrain if you need it to, this is a good machine. The Charlie configuration is more of a knife fighter. So this one, for long range, it has an ER large laser in its right arm. Once it closes, it depends on an ultra auto cannon 20 fed by two tons of ammunition in its left arm and a right torso mounted Streak SRM-6 with a ton of ammunition in the right torso to eviscerate most targets. Almost as an afterthought, it does have an ER small laser in its right arm. I guess in case you need to shoot an infantryman, I don't know. The battle value of this mech is 2379. And like I said, this thing totally fits a city fighter, close combat type mech. It's got the big bore, heavy damage, double shot weapon. It has the SRM launcher for finding criticals. And even though the ER large laser is technically a long range weapon, it does lend itself to short range, and it has a very long short bracket, so it's hitting very reliably at short range. After that, we have the Delta configuration. In this configuration, the Thor is kind of like a Mad Cat with no shoulder launchers. Each arm carries the same thing, an ER large laser and an ER medium laser with 3 additional double heat sinks. In its torsos, the right and left torso, it has a machine gun and an anti-missile system. And its right torso also has an advanced targeting computer that increases the accuracy of the laser weapons. The machine guns share a ton of ammunition, and the anti-missile systems have 1 ton of ammunition each. This configuration has a battle value of 2643. So this one is sort of a holdover from the earlier days of BattleTech, when I want to say anti-missile systems, it was different. Ammunition was tracked differently. It was just like this machine right here. I want to say now it's like with clan equipment, I want to say it's 1d6 is the amount of shots that you use per anti-missile system. But back when this first came out, you used a single shot of anti-missile system ammunition each time. So if you took 2 salvos, then this would kick off twice and use 2 rounds of ammunition. And I want to say it's 24 on a clan machine. So you had 12 rounds of anti-missile ammunition if you were taking 2 volleys every turn. They do not stack. They've never stacked. So, but yeah, that one comes in at 2643. It's decent. Like I said, it's like a Mad Cat without the missile pods attached to it and a little bit more accurate. So the last one we have is the M configuration. Essentially, it is a reworking of the Prime. The Malthus configuration removes the LRM-15 and its corresponding ammunition and replaces it with a left torso mounted Streak RSM-6 with 2 tons of ammunition. I mean, they could have just done one, especially on a Streak 6, and given it LB-10X an additional ton, but they didn't, because Who knows? And it also has a left torso mounted ER small laser. This configuration comes in at 2251. This is the one that came in the source book for Somerset, for the Somerset Strikers. So, like, when people tell you, oh, well, the Somerset Striker source book's not canon. No, the source book itself is not canon, but it did try to make things work between the show and the actual tabletop game. So, you know, it's on the edge of canon as far as the source book. So in Alpha Strike, because it's an Omnimech, the Thor has a base stat line that doesn't change, and it doesn't change to any of these variants. It is type battle mech, size 3, target movement modifier of 2, has a movement of 10 jump, armor of 6, and structure of 4. The stats are pretty much concrete. Nothing changes in any of the configurations we're going over today. I'm sure something changes in one of them over the whole, because this thing has so many configurations at this point that it's not funny. But we're just covering the original 5 and the Malthus one for good reason. And we'll get to that soon. So the prime configuration is a sniper, has damage values of short 4, medium 4, and long 4. So it does the same amount of damage regardless of where, you know, how far away you are. Overheat of 0. Specials are case, flak of 111, indirect fire 1, and omni. And it has a point value of 43 points. So overall, this is a very good trooper heavy with decent hitting power. It has a few handy little tools like flak, which is great against VTOLs. You have indirect fire. You know, it's not the greatest mech, but it is nice to have. And it's not that expensive at 43. But for the armor and structure, you're gonna hurt pretty quick if you get hit. The Alpha, also a sniper, it comes in at 40 even. So this one has a stat line for damage of short 3, medium 4, long 3, overheat of 0. And it has, its only specials are case and omni. It essentially sacrifices some of the utility and firepower of the prime, but it gives you a 3-point lower price tag. So it's, you know, you're losing some firepower, you're losing utility, but what you gain is 3 extra points that might be needed somewhere else in your list. In the Bravo configuration, the Thor is a missile boat that comes in at 45 points. Still pretty reasonable. It has a firepower, or, you know, it does short, medium, 4, long of 3. No overheat value. Has a large support toolkit with anti-missile system, case, indirect fire 2, LRM 222, Omni, standard NARC, and SRM of 1-1. This is definitely an excellent addition to any Fire Lance. Also, if you're playing casually or in a tournament that allows it, you can take Inferno rounds with this, and it essentially goes from doing SRM 1-1 to Heat 1-1. And it's just all the time. Or you can throw Armor Piercing in there, and you're always rolling for a crit at short and medium. You know, I think you have to roll an 8 up after you hit, but yeah. Then we have Charlie configuration. It is a no-frills knife fighter, classed as a skirmisher, and comes in at 43 points. It does 5 damage at short and medium range, and 1 at long. Its only specials are case and omni, making it quite well to define what this thing is supposed to do. Get close and hit the enemy really hard. Overall, this would be an excellent city fighter because with the ability to jump up to 10 inches, it means you're clearing most buildings. You are able to move about a built-up place like a city or a jungle or something like that and just play holy hell on the opponent. Delta configuration also comes in at 43 points, and it's classified as a sniper. The Delta gets more effective as it closes with a target. Its damage values are short of 5, medium 4, long of 3. Once again, overheat of 0. This thing is super heat neutral. Its specials are pretty basic with Case, Omni, and Anti-Missile System. You don't double up on AMS on this. It just gives it to you once. You could have 100 of them on a mech. You still get one AMS. Finally, we have the Malthus configuration. This configuration is also classified as a sniper, which seems pretty common with this mech. Has a point value of 41. Short and medium are 4. Long is 3. Overheat of 0. And its specials are Case, Flak of 111, and Omni. It's essentially a budget version of the Prime, and good to shave off a few points if you need to. So you can shave off 2 points with this, and you're going to be more effective than an A. And, you know, you have a tiny bit more of a toolbox. That pretty much covers our mech tech. So if you would like an awesome proxy for the Thor or Summoner, whatever you want to call it, check out the Sorcerer War Mech at MythKitty Minis. They're on Etsy. There will be a link in the description. Or sign up for our Patreon at patreon.com/unicorncompany. Unicorn Company is one word. And at the $10 tier, you will receive a mini inspired by the cartoon and sculpted by DeJong Lewis Advanced Weapons, who is somebody that we do work with and MythKitty Minis works with. And you get a new one every month from, you know, designed by other artists. You're going to get some more from DeJong Lewis, obviously, but you'll also be getting designs by Kirsala, the Leilani Industrial Complex, and Redline Workshop. MythKitty Minis is authorized to print these by the artists that did do the STL files. So this isn't anything like, you know, going and somebody just downloads all of someone else's stuff and then starts selling it. So you can support the podcast either by going ahead buying some minis from MythKitty Minis, or if you want to support us directly through Patreon, go ahead. I do know the tier up from the $10, you end up getting 4 mechs a month, actually. I want to say it's a $30 or $35 tier. I'd have to look. And we're working on some kind of welcome packet to welcome you, you know, to Unicorn Company. And, of course, you also get voting power. You get outpost in there occasionally. We don't have a Discord. I am not tech-savvy enough to set that up. And I don't want to pester anybody to try to set it up for me. I don't know what's required or if it even costs money. I don't know these things. So until further down the road, you know, right now we're looking at the mechs and obviously like stickers and swag and stuff like that when possible. So until next time, y'all have a great day, great evening, great whatever it is where you are. And we'll be looking at some more Alpha Strike stuff in 2 weeks and whatever comes by in the news. And yeah, see you later.